Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking forward to just riff. That's when you grab the instrument, the guitar, and you just play. That's what we're going to do today with Darren Millard and John Shannon on 100% Hockey. I almost got through the intro.
You play the guitar?
Yep.
Will you play one day?
I will. Brown Eyed Girl is the one and only song I really know, and everything else I just dabble in. But it's soothing. When I watch games, I sit there and I'll practice some chords.
You do not while you're watching games.
Yeah. Yeah. Work on things. But I'm not very good.
Do you do it with a goalie mask on too or what?
I have at times been screwing around with my gear and my wife's come around the corner and went, what is going on? Because I've been testing out the mask fit.
Oh. Yeah,
that has happened before. Not in a while though.
Like what? Like 2 days?
Nah, maybe a couple of years. But yeah, the guitar's soothing. And once you start playing, it's amazing how many other people, they just don't tell anybody. You bring up, I was practicing the guitar. I play. You play? Yeah. Everybody dabbles in the guitar.
Okay. I don't play the guitar.
People right now are listening and going, I do that. It's really cool.
Well, you knew that I didn't play the guitar?
Yeah. There's no way you would play the guitar. You don't have enough patience for the guitar.
I'm a very patient man. I work with you.
No, there's no, that is nothing compared to the pain in your fingers and the frustration.
I've been in this business almost 50 years. You don't think you have to be patient to be in this business 50 years?
No, you're just a survivor. That's all.
Oh, you got it right there. Evolve or die.
Evolve or die. So we're going to walk through a few things today. Because I've been asking you for a one-on-one session for a while now.
But yes, you have, and I just figure people wouldn't like it.
No, well, there's just so many guests that want to come on that we haven't had an opportunity to do this for a long time. I have a list of people that should win awards that won't. Not going to get to that right now, but I've got a couple of beefs with players who are not receiving what I consider to be the proper attention this year. But I do want to, off the hop here, acknowledge the Atlantic Division is the best division in hockey. And it's...
You think it's better than the Central?
I do.
What do you base that on? That jam at the top with the three teams so close together?
But then it goes deeper than that. Oh, what Ottawa's done, how Montreal's moved their way into it. It's been a real pleasant surprise. And I didn't expect that this year, John. I didn't anticipate Florida being as good as they are during a regular season.
They won the Stanley Cup.
And went to the final 2 years ago. I thought there would be a drop off there. Just like what we saw during Tampa Bay's heydays, where they didn't necessarily push for a division title, but Florida is right there. Tampa's back in the mix. Mm-hmm. Toronto's been unable to separate themselves. Ottawa, hey, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. Montreal is knocking at the door. I didn't see that compared to what the forecast was from the Atlantic Division and the Central Division. The Pacific, I forecast there would be a two-team race.
And you were wrong.
Right. Yeah. So I just wanted to acknowledge the Atlantic Division.
See, here's the one team in the Atlantic Division that has surprised me with expectation is, what do you think?
Buffalo?
Tampa.
Oh.
I thought Tampa.
I thought you were going disappointment there.
Well, I didn't think they'd be this good.
No.
I think that we... You know that there has been an evolution of the hockey club where they were eroding with their talent.
Their window was closing.
Correct. And there's a couple of things that John Cooper and Julien Brisebois have done, and you've got to give a few old goats some credit for what has happened there. The return of Ryan McDonagh has made a huge difference to them. And I think it's made Victor Hedman a better player, to the point where I don't think, and I mean, I know you're going to do your who deserves awards and doesn't at some point, maybe not today, but I think Victor Hedman should be in the Norris Trophy discussion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're so glued to Quinn Hughes, who's in the discussion, Cale Makar, Zach Werenski. But Victor Hedman has been unbelievably steady for the Lightning all season long. You know, the guys that went off the Tampa roster to Canada and played so well, I didn't think they were that good. I really didn't. Anthony Cirelli I've known about for a long time, all the way back to his days in Oshawa. But I thought he was a really good player. I didn't think he was a great player. Brandon Hagel, same thing. I did not think that, I thought he was a good player, not a great player. And both of them have really opened my eyes to the depth of what they have been able to do as hockey players and have become linchpins to that team in so many ways. Cirelli's always been that guy, right? Third center, you know, penalty killer, kind of a shadow defensive forward. But boy, oh boy, he has been good. Hagel has exploded for me. And so he's become a real force. So you go beyond that core in Tampa with Point and Kucherov and Hedman and Vasilevsky. It's that second group of guys in Tampa that's made the huge difference for me. And I think they deserve a ton of credit to be in the same place or close to what the Panthers are and what the Maple Leafs are.
Their window should be closing. And then factor in, they traded Sergachev and lost Stamkos in the summer.
Yeah.
Those are two big pieces lost. And they've backfilled it. They added at the trade deadline. And I can sell you, I can make an argument that I believe in, that they're the best team in the Atlantic right now. I can do the same thing with Florida, and I can do the same thing with Toronto. But
no, you're not. Well, you can't do it with Toronto. You can't do it with Toronto. No, you can't. There's something, you know, there's something missing still in Toronto. There's something missing. Now, maybe I'm saying that because I watch more Maple Leaf games than I do Panther games and Lightning games. But there's something still missing in Toronto. I don't know what it is. You know, and it's hard to measure. It's hard to measure after watching them destroy the Philadelphia Flyers. But, you know, a good team like that does not go and lay an egg in Nashville like they did on Saturday night. They don't. It just doesn't happen.
That's a reality of the National Hockey League right now, that you get these one-offs, if you want to call it that. It's part of the schedule. It's almost should be baked in. Every team falls victim to it. If you take a step back, the pieces that the Toronto Maple Leafs have are there to make a championship run.
How's your buddy doing?
This is Billy. Billy the cat. Billy loves 100% hockey.
Well, I've had an animal that has loves when I do radio. So we had two dogs. You and I have had this discussion. We had two great Portuguese water dogs for years at our house. And so I would go on and do radio, whether it was be you with Vegas or anywhere else. And the two dogs would be sitting there just listening intently. Anywhere in the house, if I start talking on the radio, the two dogs would show up and just be there listening. And I've got the same thing now. When I do it from the house, too, my pal Gary shows up. So,
and it must be that the passion that you have when you're talking about hockey that they love the animals love.
I think they like the noise, the loudness of it, you know, because mm-hmm. Because at the same time that the cat or the dogs were always excited, my wife's yelling, "Shut up, you're talking too loud."
That's a different recognition of the passion that you have. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. Ovi with a big night last night, and the Winnipeg Jets with a response, and it all happened in the same game. This is 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Manitoba abuzz. The Winnipeg Jets win the showdown of the top two teams in the National Hockey League in a game in which Alexander Ovechkin scores 8-8-9. Which would you consider to be the page jumper?
Well, I think that there was more of a learning curve for the Winnipeg Jets last night than there was the story of Alex Ovechkin and his race to beat Wayne. Now, it was exciting to see it. I think people in Winnipeg, you know, the 15,225 that showed up at Canada Life last night, they got the best of both worlds. They got to see history as Ovechkin gets closer to 894, and the Jets won. And the Jets played a really, really solid two-way game. It was physical. It was emotional. It was fast. Great goaltending at both ends. Hellebuck and Thompson were really good. And the Jets did it without Gabe Vilardi and Neil Pionk, which I think would probably be a little satisfying for the guys on the roster, knowing that they can play that style of game without two of their most important players. My answer is, I think it's probably better for Winnipeg, but Washington at the same time, as we know, and we've seen all season long, is that they'll rebound. They've got Minnesota the next game, and they'll be just fine as they go towards the President's Trophy. They got a point out of it, Darren. And so the battle for the President's Trophy is down to a single point now, with the Jets winning and the Caps getting the overtime loss.
Psychologically, I think from the locker rooms, dressing rooms, Winnipeg.
See, that's good. You see, the dressing rooms are in Canada and the locker rooms are in the United States.
I have trouble with that sometimes. Yeah. I'll be on the air doing things and I'll say dressing rooms and
difference between jerseys and sweaters, right?
Sweaters. I use sweaters all the time. I like using sweaters.
The secret trick to remember it's sweaters. And I was told this by an old time trainer years ago. He says, John, don't call them jerseys, call them sweaters. I said, well, I forget sometimes. And he says, no, here's how you remember. I said, okay, how do you do that? Players sweat.
Oh.
Players sweat, so they wear sweaters. Oh, okay.
I'll put that into my brain.
Since then, I've always remembered that. That's kind of like my nature's trick too, right?
Yeah, that is good. I use sweaters as a nod to my homeland when I'm doing a broadcast as a little. I work everything else in process, that kind of thing, against. But I do use sweaters consistently. Oh, just as
me too.
As my little, hey, I'm still Canadian. I always will be Canadian. But when you talk about Winnipeg and they've had this fantastic season, to not perform well in that situation, just it would have put a little salt in that performance this year. And I was happy for them.
Oh, no. It was an edge of your seat game all night. It was a playoff style hockey game. It was as if both rosters acknowledged that this could be a preview. Now, it's a long way away. What's that?
I think they were playing for respect in the league. Like, we want to be the top dog. Let's go. I think we're a long way from a preview. How many people think that those two teams are going to meet in the final, or either one will get to the final? There's a lot of doubt about both.
There is, but I also think that there's doubt because they don't know the teams well enough. I really do. I certainly can say that about people not knowing how good Winnipeg is, because the Jets don't get respect outside of Manitoba. I'm not sure how much respect they get in the Central Division. I mean, case in point, Darren, all you had to do was look at trade deadline day and Jim Neal doing what he did and Chris McFarland doing what he did. And everybody said, well, there they are. They're the Stanley Cup contenders from the Central Division, forgetting all along that the Jets are ahead of them in the points. And now the Jets have really kind of reacted to that and done an amazing job. They are a complete hockey team right now. And they start with a complete hockey team because they have Connor Hellebuck, who's the best goaltender in the game. And Josh Morrissey, who I had hoped would receive a little more accolades during the Four Nations, deserves a ton of respect for being one of the top six defensemen in the National Hockey League. So there's lots of things that, and I know I do lots of work in Winnipeg, but you know, those of us that have taken the time to watch the team play a lot, you go, holy smokes, this team is deep. This team is complete. They are fast. You know, the whole discussion in Winnipeg this week is, what are we going to do without Gabe Vilardi? Kevin Cheveldayoff figured that out ages ago, and that's why they are one of the deepest teams in the game. You know, the move of Alex Iafallo to the top line was an easy move. And then somebody can go in and last night it was Rasmus Kupari goes back into the lineup on the fourth line. There's tons of things that this team has done so well, and it's prepare themselves for events like injuries at in opportune times. You know, the addition of Luke Shen was a brilliant addition. It has changed the dynamic on the back end for the Jets. They're a much more physical team now, which they need to be for the playoffs. So that's why I think last night was, and maybe the preview was a little bit of a difficult word to use, but to me it was both teams saying, you know what, we are the real deal. Washington has said it all season long. Spencer said it with us on Friday. And I think the Winnipeg Jets are the real deal as well.
Washington moves on to Minnesota, and then they get Buffalo before they move into April. He is at 889. Where's your gut feeling on Alexander Ovechkin?
What, their last game's on the 17th of April?
Yeah, in Pittsburgh.
17th of April.
Okay.
And it's going to be Alex Ovechkin against Sidney Crosby. And somebody actually asked me the question yesterday, how hard will the Caps, if there's an empty net, the game, they're ahead or they're ahead in the game, how hard will the Caps on the ice get the puck to Ovechkin to score 8-9-5 against the Penguins on the 17th of April? And I said, almost as hard as Sidney will be there to stop him.
I think Sidney could win the Selke Trophy in one game. On that last
Sidney
game of the
should
year.
Have won the Selke Trophy twice already. Sidney Crosby is hard to imagine. Sidney Crosby's underrated as a defensive forward. Underrated. I think we take him for granted.
You know, the interesting thing about the Ovechkin race or chase is you can't look at this time of the year, teams that are good, teams that are battling for a playoff position, teams that are out of it, like you do with a team going, oh, they should win this game. They should, they're going to be in tough in that game. This is as random of a prediction as you're going to get because you don't know which goaltender is necessarily going to play, and it doesn't really matter whether the team's good or bad.
Well, the Buffalo Sabres have proved that. Buffalo Sabres have proved that recently. I mean, they go into Winnipeg and beat the Jets. James Reimer was phenomenal. You know, the Senators go in there with Dylan Cousins in the lineup, and the Sabres beat the Senators on Tuesday night. It's truly, you know, you're right about that. There is so much more parity in the game and equality in the game right now. Even though there are teams that are You know, they don't have many points, but every game's a tough game. I mean, last night go ahead.
I was just going to say it's an individual accomplishment. It has nothing to do with whether the other team's playing good, bad, or indifferent. It's just about Alexander Ovechkin getting a goal. And
do you remember Henry Aaron's race to 714 at all?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we did this. We did this as fans because I was still in high school, but we followed Henry Aaron's race all season long, hoping that he would get to 714 before the end of the regular season, and he didn't. And so it ended up being the second game of the following year at home, the Braves against the Dodgers, where he got to 715. So
I forgot about that comparison. I didn't make that connection. That's great.
It would not surprise me if we see the same thing, is that Ovechkin gets to 892 or 893. And we are waiting until next October now for Ovechkin to get past Wayne Gretzky's record.
Do you think Wayne and Gary have looked at the Washington schedule and said, okay, we can get home here. We're going to be on the road for this many days here because they're going to be in lockstep with them. And they're going to have to do or be asked to do media at every game along the way. It's going to turn into one of the great hockey shows on a nightly basis that we've seen during the course of a regular season. And it hits Columbus. There's a home and home with Columbus in the second last week. That's going to be fantastic for that team and that story. Hopefully they can get back into it.
Well, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I do believe that the Winnipeg game last night and the Minnesota game were really the only games outside the Eastern time zone. Correct.
Correct. And so, they have a game, against Chicago, but that's at home. And then, everything's in the East.
So the answer is that, you know, without being a back-to-back, Wayne and Gary can fly in and fly out, you know, and it's the other thing was, I do suspect there was a sigh of relief for the NHL and for Wayne that he didn't get to 890. By the time the game in Winnipeg occurred, because I don't think Mr. Gretzky, who I have a great deal of respect for, would have become a huge distraction had Wayne come to Canada to follow Alexander Ovechkin's race. So it's kind of
really?
It would have been a distraction. Yeah, with everything that's gone on in Wayne's life, with everything that's going on in the political world. For Wayne to come to Canada would have been a very, very difficult thing. So I almost, from a personal perspective of the guy I know and like, I'm almost relieved that Ovechkin didn't get to the 890 mark by the time the game in Winnipeg occurred.
I thought you were talking about Wayne's history with Winnipeg and they wouldn't be happy because there's a couple of layers there.
Yeah, I think that if you take Wayne Gretzky, the hockey player, let's take all the politics out of this, please. I know people can't do that, but you and I can. Let's take all the politics out of it. I think Wayne has now got to the point where there's tremendous respect for what Wayne has done as a hockey player. And that's all I'm talking about is Wayne as a hockey player. I think there is still that admiration anywhere he goes, particularly in our country, as a hockey player.
I was working in Winnipeg mid-90s when Wayne wasn't very popular in Winnipeg. And I'll tell you this story. The Jets were going to leave. And there was a grassroots rally to save the Jets, 1995.
Right.
And it looked like they were gone. And the last game at home was against Wayne Gretzky. And at the end of the game, nobody knew where the puck went. The last puck, potentially, in Winnipeg Jets history, gone. Nobody knew where it was. So we went back through the video, Gene Principe and I. wainscoted by the referee of the linesman and got the puck. And so all the questions started. Well, ends up the grassroots campaign extends it. The Jets come back for the 95-96 season, and it's all for naught. But for a while, Wayne Gretzky had the last puck in Winnipeg Jets history, had asked for it, and he was, oh boy, it was nasty. Now we've gone past that.
He well, Gretzky's history, and again, I'm a hockey nerd, so Gretzky's history goes back farther than that when you consider the last game in the WHA.
Yeah.
Was at the old Winnipeg Arena. Jets Oilers for the Avco Cup. Jets won, by the way. Wayne played in that game as well. So, yeah. By the way, do you remember who scored the last goal in the WHA? Little trivia.
No.
I think he was a Manitoba guy. Manitoba.
I was going to throw a name out at you, but who was it?
Dave Semenko.
Really?
Yeah.
Former Viking. Brandon guy.
Oh,
it all comes back.
I'm afraid it does.
You can't help it. Did you see, talking about Columbus and Ovechkin and that back-to-back, I've got it happening against Columbus because just the... When you have a back-to-back like that, second last week of the season, it does line up. The odds are good there. The Columbus Blue
April
Jackets,
17.
Yeah, the blue. That's your pick. The Blue Jackets are in this really difficult situation trying to qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and were the hockey gods looking out for them the other night against the New York Islanders, or was it just the benefit of a call that there's no middle ground on with the goalie interference play that took away a winning goal for the New York Islanders? Because it's got as much attention as any goalie interference call all season.
Well, for a good reason. First of all, it was wrong. And secondly, it comes on the heels of the general manager's meetings where the number one topic in the session for 3 days was we've got to fix this goalie interference problem. And
why do you think it was wrong?
Well, I believe that Elvis Merzlikins had reset. I believe that. When Palmieri came through the crease, and he did come through the crease, and there was contact, fair enough. Moments later, when you see Merzlikins able to push Palmieri away, and you see him turn and look, and you try to use the blocker to deflect the puck, tells me that he saw the puck, and therefore was in a reset position to stop the puck. How's that?
Well, the way you present it, there's 25 seconds between all of those actions.
No, it was less than a second. It was less than a second. I know.
You can't reset and do all of that in less than a second.
You know, just because you're a goalie, you think you know.
It's got nothing to do. Don't make an argument for me as your argument. That doesn't work. That lessens your standing.
I believe that Merzlikins was never distracted enough not to be reset. That's what I believe. That's the key of this. You know, we can't go back to toe in the crease.
Nobody's saying that.
No, we are very, we can't go back to goaltenders being untouchable. We can't.
This is a
collision sport. I think that Merzlikins was never distracted in his job to stop the puck.
Okay. I will give you this. Elvis wasn't going to stop the puck regardless. But you can't use that as your foundation for your argument.
You can't. That's like talking about intent.
No, he wasn't going to stop the puck. But there was contact in the crease, and it happened milliseconds before the puck went in. That's goalie interference. We may not like it, but under the guidelines of the rule, that was a proper call.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree it was a proper call. And I'll tell you what, I think that this it took a long time in the Situation Room, and you knew that means there is a ton of discussion about what was right, what was wrong. Let me ask you this. The referee, Mike Markovich, if he had said good goal, I believe that the Situation Room didn't have enough evidence to overturn it.
Probably. And that's fine, because that puts it to the referee's call as the most important factor in any decision on the ice.
This is what video review was supposed to get rid of.
No, but sometimes it's that close where...
And sometimes referees are wrong.
You can't overrule it. I like the fact that the referee every now and then will just wave it off instead of calling it a goal and going upstairs and counting on them to turn it around.
It's funny because everybody loves the fact that when there's a penalty and it's a double minor, they love the fact that now they can go to video and review it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're using video review properly in one, but not properly in the other.
I would say 9 times out of 10, they call it a goal and wait for video review. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, I just want to get the call right. That's my goal. I want to get the call right.
That's such a lame statement.
It's
who
not
doesn't
lame.
Want to get the who doesn't want to get the call right?
The moment you put egos involved, that becomes an issue.
Well, they're involved in this conversation,
and that's the human aspect of the game we play.
It's so clouding your judgment.
Here's an interesting stat, though. The New York Islanders have been involved in goalie interference calls more than any other team in the National Hockey League this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 18.
And that makes sense because Patrick Roy says he doesn't know what goalie interference is.
And they've had 9 go for them and 9 go against them.
Is that not perfect?
And Patrick has called 8 of them, and he's 5-3.
I'll take that.
No, I want to be 8-0. That's what you want to be.
Well, you're never going to be 8-0. Take a break. I've got a couple of things to get off my chest, and I'm just going to let you take a step back because I feel like you've argued yourself into a corner today. And I want you to end the show on a good note. Back with more on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. I just want to get the call right. I can't believe you said that.
I just want it right, man.
That's what you say when you've got nothing else to say.
You don't want to get the call right? Is that what you're saying?
I want to meet the person that says, I just hope they get all the calls wrong. That would be statement.
The other side of that answer is, this is what it is. It's my call. I don't care whether I'm right or wrong. This is the call I made.
I think the Situation Room did a great job on that call. People that should win awards that won't. Igor Shesterkin, Vezina. He won't win it, but he... really good. And if Hellebuck's not having all-world season... Shesterkin and Thompson would be a fantastic race for the Vezina Trophy. And Shesterkin may not make the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No, but he still could become a finalist for the Vezina in that situation. I mean, I you know, every time you have a conversation about the New York Rangers and they say, well, you know what? There's only one reason why they have a chance to still make the playoffs, and that's because of the goaltender. You know, he's been remarkable. What he did, like watching him Saturday against Vancouver, he was and he was the emotional leader of the team. He was the on ice leader. I mean, when he tacked Kiefer Sherwood and got a penalty for it, That was just him saying, I'm pissed off at my own team and we've got to start doing something better. And so, and nobody else is going to do it, so I'm going to do it. He's fun to watch. He is fun to watch. And you know, I'm still not convinced. You know, the three best Russian goalies in the game right now are Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, and Sorokin on the island. I'm not sure which one's the best right now.
What about Bobrovsky?
Yeah, him too. You like Bobrovsky better than the other three?
He's right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched Vasilevsky here the other day, and he was brilliant in a loss. Yeah. And Shesterkin, I find fascinating because of, he's structurally good, technically he's great, and he makes saves. And
okay, so what other guy is not going to win an award?
Josh Morrissey is not going to win an award.
That's right.
But he should.
No, you're right.
And the other one is John Cooper should win Coach of the Year, and he won't. And it's disappointing.
Yeah, I can, but then those are three valid ones.
John Cooper covers all the boxes. They weren't expected to be this good. They are. And they're a really good team. And he's allowed them to stay at that at level, or he coached them to that level. He hits both categories for me. And he's still not going to, because it's going to be the most improved team.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it could be Scott Arneil, and as you've already mentioned, that the Jets aren't that much more improved than they were the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So Arneil or Spencer or Ryan Huska deserves some credit, and so does Dean Evason.
Yeah.
And what about Jim Hiller? Hey, what about Jim Hiller? The job he's done in Los Angeles. I think Jim Hiller's done a really good job.
I came up with this last night watching the LA Kings, and I get to see them probably more than most people living in this time zone. They are so impressive, but they don't give you a thing during the course of the game. Nothing. They're neutral zone play, and then if you do somehow get it into the offensive zone, you just get snuffed out. They are hockey's version of a fire blanket. You throw it on, and it's out. That is the best way I can describe the Los Angeles Kings. You're not going to sell the game to the next generation of sports audiences on their style, but boy, are they ever effective.
So they're the Devils of 95 and the Kings
as close as we've got. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
The Devils were really effective when they won the Stanley Cup the first time. The Devils were like that. They weren't fun to watch. Marty Brodeur only had 18 saves a night, but he usually made all 18, and they were as effective as that. But the Kings don't have near the level of talent that the Devils had. I mean, the Kings are doing it with some good players. But not with
his. I like their roster.
You do?
Yeah, I really do. I think they've got balance within the roster. They don't have guys that score a lot based on their approach, but their depth, like I would take their depth over Edmonton. Edmonton has the top end guys, and oddly, ironically, LA took one of Edmonton's depth guys in Warren Fogle.
Warren Fogle's had a great season there.
So I think LA's complement of forwards runs really deep, a lot deeper than people will realize.
By the way, Anže Kopitar is, I think it's close to 14. Anže Kopitar might get to 1,500 career points this season.
It's been a while since he did a milestone. There was a couple of weeks where he hit one. Three games, four games in a row.
But I'm just saying, like, he's 41st, I think, in the league career scoring. Mm. And it's been a quiet race up the list. Quiet. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Alex Delvecchio. I think Alex Delvecchio is the next milestone marker for him. But Kopitar has had a tremendous career. And I don't see it slowing down. He seems to be as good as ever.
It's been a quieter season for him. Not as grabbing as the last couple.
But that's because he doesn't have to do it himself anymore. Quentin Byfield really has graduated to that next level, don't you think?
Yeah.
Rather than Kopitar saying to the world, okay, everybody get on my back, I'm going to take this team to the next level. There's been a lot of players that have done really good things there, including Quentin Byfield, which, you know, we've all talked about the last 3 years. That was Kopitar's job, was to tutor Byfield to get to that next level.
Kempe, Fiala, Fogle, Danault, they're strong. And I think they've benefited from getting the distraction out. And it worked well for Pierre-Luc, It's worked well for LA with Kemper coming in, who hasn't had to be fantastic. I don't think he's been brilliant this year, but his numbers are good. And
He's been solid.
Yeah, he's been solid. So,
By the way, Nazem Kadri, 300 career goals.
Yeah. And they won. They might make it. I hope they do. That would be a really cool performance.
Unbelievable story.
I don't know whether it's, honestly, whether the organization planned it that way, whether they were counting on maybe turning it over a little bit, but it gets people excited. You're trying to build, you got the new building coming. Like it puts a little bit of enthusiasm into the area.
Well, I don't think Craig Conroy and ownership have changed their plan based on the success this year.
You didn't think they handled the trade deadline differently than they would have if they were out of it?
Correct. I think they handled the trade deadline exactly the way they expected to handle the trade deadline. And by the way, I know you're a goalie nerd. Nazem Kadri's goal last night, the overtime goal, I'm just checking here on NHL.com. Dustin Wolf didn't get an assist. Dustin Wolf started the play. And he didn't get an assist on it. It went from Wolf's stick to Coronado with a great pass to Kadri on the breakaway. We've got to get Dustin Wolf the assist. The second assist on that overtime.
Peter Hanel will be all over that.
What's that?
He'll be working. Peter Hanel will be working the league on that.
Well, I only saw one person out there tweet it out that Dustin Wolf should get an assist.
Okay. That whole thing was just so you could say you were one of the only people to tweet that out.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. The only reason I was so aware of it was because I do it all the time. I'm like, why am I the only person other than Dreger to say this? I'm on top of this.
I'm just going to call those types of things my Don Cherry moments. How's that?
Yes, that's a good way. That's a good way to put it. Minnesota's in trouble, boy. Before we go, we had them last night. They were at home. They lost both halves of a back-to-back. And last night was expected because they flew in from Dallas and had the quick turnaround. But there's so many injuries there. Foligno's now out. It's wobbly in Minnesota right now.
So would it surprise you if it's St. Louis in the first wild card and Calgary in the second?
Yes, but I do think the Wild are vulnerable. Is that a way to cover up both bases?
Oh, that's
remember
you
Minnesota.
That's you sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
I can't believe
October
you're
and November
like that.
Minnesota was right there with Winnipeg the first two months of the season. And then Kaprizov gets hurt at Christmas and it's
and everybody else. Their blue line was like a MASH unit for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought before the break that they had recovered enough to do it, but they're still in trouble. And the Blues have been playing so well that's changed the complexion of that race completely.
They were good last week, Minnesota. They were good, and Gustafson had to be the first star of the week. To make it happen.
Yeah.
Expressions you are no longer allowed to make on 100% Hockey. MASH unit.
Why?
Because 3/4 of our audience doesn't know what that means.
Mobile Army Surgical Hospital.
Yes. But you know
what? One of the great movies of all time. One of the great television shows of all time.
Okay, when did it air?
A long time ago.
I had
but
to get up
reruns.
And, yeah, I had
reruns.
To get up and turn the channel to put it on. And when I watched the movie, my remote control had a string attached to the VCR.
Okay, if that's the case, then. If that's the case, no Seinfeld references. We're not doing Seinfeld anymore. Okay? We're not.
I like it when you get angry. See, we don't need people to talk to. We can just talk to ourselves.
Well, I'll go to break now because we have to come back.
All right. We'll be back with more right after this. I lost track of our breaks, actually.
I know you did. That's why I did that.
I thought we were done.
The last guy I worked with did the same. He never remembered, you know?
Well, I remember it when we have guests. It's just this one kind of throws me off schedule.
Well, yeah, because you think you have to think of topics.
Yeah.
We don't need topics.
I'm not thinking topics. I had things I wanted to get off my chest. That's all.
Yeah, that list of awards thing wasn't very long. I'm a little disappointed.
What do you mean?
I do think Sydney deserves a real vote for the Selke, though. I really do.
Blah, I'm not. I don't like the Selke. If we got rid of the Selke yesterday, I wouldn't miss the Selke at all. Not at all.
Are you
all.
Kidding me? One of the great names of hockey.
Fine. Make it a different award. Make it the award for the best offensive defenseman. I know it doesn't fit, but if you want to keep the Selke award, just make it for something else other than
Are you one of those guys that wants to modernize the award names?
No. I just don't think a best defensive forward is practical, and I don't think anybody that votes for it really. Well, that's not fair. Most of the people that vote for it don't truly watch for that or understand it. And
that might be true for a lot of awards.
If that's the case for Vezina and Hart, how much do you think people are paying attention to best defensive forward?
No. Vezina is different because Vezina is voted on by the general managers.
Mm-hmm.
The Hart Trophy is voted on by the Professional Hockey Writers.
Do you think the general managers dive into all the deep analytics and or they go on eye test for the Vezina?
I think that most managers will probably go to their analytics group and go and do a little bit of an internal poll and say, who's the best goalie? And then somebody will say, well, this guy screwed us six times this year. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. My buddy Kevin Woodley.
It's funny. Every time I think of guys who make trades, they say, well, why did you trade for that guy? He was always good against us.
He was great against us.
That's right.
Scored 8 goals against us last year. My buddy Kevin Woodley from InGoal magazine, he's that's one of his pet peeves, is that the managers vote on the Vezina.
I had a great chat with Kevin the other day. So,
did you?
Oh, yeah, because I thought Thatcher Demko in the Jersey game, I thought Demko was really out of position on the second New Jersey goal. And rather than being judgmental, I wanted some input to my opinion. And
I appreciate that. Good job on that.
What do you mean?
No, you're not just spouting off. You're putting work into your thoughts.
I always ask people questions. To the point where I drive them nuts.
So what did he say about the play?
Yeah, he went a little longer than I. You know, he was got long winded in his text. But yeah, it made sense. I do think Demko overplayed the goal, but that's another story for another day. Kevin's one of those guys. You know, you ask him for the time, he builds you the watch. Yeah. But that's okay. I know.
Minnie and Vancouver may both miss. Wow. Yeah. That would be shocking.
Indeed. Okay, we got to go.
All right. You have a good day. Call me when you get
there.
By
the way, I gave you a chance to ask me about Gary the Cat, and you never ask me about Gary the Cat.
Because you're not at home. If you were at home, I would have spent 20 minutes on Gary the Cat.
Okay.
And I would have had you get up and go get Gary. But
no, Gary would be right there. Gary's right at my feet when
you're not at home. You know what? You've got to, if we were playing poker, I'd beat you every time. Because you've got to tell.
What's that?
You know what it is?
That.
You say,
I smile?
Nope. You use, by the way.
Oh.
And every time you say, by the way, it's a way to give me crap or point out something I'm doing wrong. And I've kept track of it during this show, by the way. And then it's something that, a counter argument to me or a point that I've made incorrectly.
I'm never saying it again.
No, you will, because I'll be wrong. I'll be wrong a lot.
By the way, Craig Conroy Friday.
Oh, good.
So we can talk about those red hot Calgary Flames.
Connie. Love Connie.
Is there a chance we can do a whole show without a nickname? Because you're using nicknames now just to drive me crazy.
No, that's his nickname, Connie.
I know that's his nickname. But you, who did we have on the other day? Oh, Rudes. Rudes. Hey, Rudes.
Rudes. Kelly Rudy. Yeah.
You're just,
you know who I learned Rudes from? PJ Stock. Use Rudes all the time.
You're just doing it to drive me nuts.
Yeah, a little bit of that, a little bit of being cool. That's who I am. Thanks for listening to 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. You hang up first, John.
Nope.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.